It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hello, friends. Today we're going to chat about growing roses sustainably. And we have the perfect person for this chat, Pat Shanley, former president of the American Rose Society. Now, Pat helped to write the book on the subject as co-editor and a contributing author of the book that's titled The Sustainable Rose Garden, A Reader in Rose Culture. Now, if you've seen pictures of Pat's garden, you know it to be one of the most beautiful private gardens. And it's a garden where she grows approximately 250 roses using the no-spray sustainable practices that we're going to talk about today. So, hey, Pat, welcome to Rose Chat.
Thank you, Teresa. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Pat, it's so good to talk to you, but let's start with your story of transitioning to sustainable growing. You didn't always grow sustainably.
No, I didn't. I actually started growing roses in the early 1990s, and my home society was the Long Island Rose Society. And at that time, people grew roses that needed to be sprayed regularly with fungicides in order for them to be fully foliated and bloom well. And so that's how I started. I always loved dogs and roses. And I had a beautiful Great Dane. His name was Winston. And one day I was spraying my roses with a fungicide. Winston was inside. And I let him out when the spray had dried, and he came back in a short time later and had a lot of gastrointestinal problems. So I took him over to an emergency vet, and 20 minutes later, he was dead. So, you know, can I actually say that, you know, can I link it up that he definitely ate some of the fungicide-treated leaves and that's why he passed so quickly? You know, I can't prove that. You know, but in my heart of hearts, I always wondered what took that beautiful, healthy dog so quickly. And that was the last time I ever sprayed my roses. And I transitioned over to no spray. It took about 3 years for that garden to come around and be a beautiful garden again. So it's very tough. If you're transitioning from a garden that you spray regularly, it's going to be difficult. And you will see that the roses that that do well are probably the ones that you should keep, and the ones that that don't do well and defoliated are the ones that you should get rid of. But it will take about 3 years to do that. I really believe that the secret to growing roses without chemicals is to choose the right variety of rose.
One of our good friends wrote the book, right rose, right place. And that's so true.
Yes. I mean, it definitely is true. Roses are not perfect. Life is not perfect. And I think that's what I've come up with in my garden. I grow roses that I know, are disease resistant. So nothing is disease free. And that's the first thing you have to realize if you're going to plant roses and not want to spray them, is that you have to be able to live with a certain amount of imperfection. Right now, it's mid-August, and my garden is fully foliated. You know, the blooms are smaller because it is so hot. And, of course, we're past the peak bloom in New York. The garden's fully foliated. You know, is there any disease on the leaves? Sure. You know, there are some diseased leaves. But not like if I was growing a rose that was totally susceptible to black spot. If I was growing that kind of rose right now, the bushes would be totally defoliated and all I would see would be bare canes. That's not what I see. And if you follow me on Facebook, you can see the garden. I posted it recently. I'm extremely happy with this with this method of growing roses. So of course you need to choose the proper setting. You need to plant your roses where you're going to get at least 6 hours of sunlight a day. And you need to have good soil. You can do a soil test to be sure that you have all the proper elements in it, and that is highly recommended. So you need soil. You need good soil. You need at least 6 hours of sun a day. And you need the proper amount of water of irrigation. Those are the three things you need to successfully grow your roses, in addition to choosing a variety that will grow well where you live.
Boy, plant selection, that is key. So help us, how do we find the plants that are going to grow well in our gardens?
American Garden Rose Selections is a national trialing program that trials roses regionally over 13 gardens across the country, and there are 6 regions. The roses are trialed for 2 years, and at which point the roses that that do well in those areas, they become American Garden Rose Selections award winners, regional award winners. You can see these roses on our website, which is AmericanGardenRoseSelections.com. The roses are listed for your region, and that is one of the ways that you can pick a really great rose that will do well in your area.
I was on the website this morning, and it's this beautiful website. So I do recommend our friends that you go there. And it is, and if you're looking for something for your region, you are going to find it there and find it beautifully. You're going to see the roses in garden settings. It's a beautiful website. And another thing that you can do, friends, is you can join a local rose society. You can learn from people growing in your area. So, and if you don't have a local rose society, the American Rose Society can help you find a grow in your area too. And you can find them at rose.org. So, Pat, tell us a little bit more about the AGRS.
AGRS started when the AARS was All America Rose Selections. That was the national testing program for new roses in our country. And in 2012, the organization ceased to exist. So the American Garden Rose Selections Trials was founded to take the place of AGRS. So the difference between AGRS and the AARS is that AGRS is trialing roses regionally. The AARS was just getting into that when they ceased to exist. And the last rose that they awarded was Francis Mayon, which is a beautiful, beautiful hybrid tea, of course, bred by the House of Mayon. Very, very fragrant and very disease resistant. And then they ceased to exist. And so AARS came in to fill that void. And again, the difference is we trial roses regionally. And that makes a big difference. The secret to growing a great rose is to pick a rose that will grow well where you live. And that's what AGRS helps you do.
This reminds me of back, 30 years ago when I first started growing roses. It was maybe longer than that, actually. But I bought so many roses based on their picture. Picture in a catalog of a rose that was probably grown in California. And let me tell you, here in Indiana, those California beauties just did not do well. So you are speaking my language, trial and error in my garden. I had my own trials. They were expensive. I am so glad that there are other rose trials going on in the country now, so I can spare myself the expense and trouble.
Yeah. First time I went to California and I saw roses that I was growing in New York, they were twice the size of what I had at home. And I thought to myself, that can't even be the same variety, but it was. So growing roses in California is a whole different ballgame than growing them in the Northeast or where you live, Teresa. And that's really what we have to focus on, that, you can find a rose that will do well in your area. So is this guaranteed? Nothing is guaranteed. But, you have a much better shot if you pick a rose that is known to do well in your area. And as you mentioned before, the American Rose Society, of course, I'm a past president of the American Rose Society and very, very pro AARS membership. So For your listeners out there, if you are not growing roses right now, or you've just started, or the perfect place to get the information that you need to help you be successful is the American Rose Society and one of our local societies. We have about 300 local rose societies across the country, and you can find them listed, as Teresa said, on the website, rose.org. But that is the place to go for the information that you need. It is the true factual information that you need to be able to grow roses.
Yeah, the factual part is so good, you know, and I love to send people to rose.org, you know, and of course they can ask me questions as well, and I can direct them if I need to, but just searching, just doing a Google search, you get all kinds of things that might not be helpful at all. So yes, starting with the American Rose Society and our testing sites, a much better way to go, much better.
Yes, it definitely is.
Now, what are some ways that we can be proactive in deterring the pests that love our roses too?
So I think one of the best things that you can do is try to develop a friendly environment for your roses that will attract birds and bees and insects that will take care of whatever problem that you have, beneficial insects. So again, I don't spray any pesticides. So this is a tough question for me, because what do I do if I have black spot? I pick off the leaves. What do I do if I have Japanese beetles? I knock them off into a can of soapy water. I don't have spider mites. I don't have terrible outbreaks of midge. Of course, where I live, we don't have chili thrips, thank goodness, because there's not a lot that you can do besides spray something for them. But I don't have serious problems. Aphids, you know, I blast them off with water. I have a tremendous amount of bees and butterflies and birds, and they all seem to keep the whatever problem that might start, these things keep the problem in check. So I know that sounds kind of Pollyanna, but that really is what it is in my garden. I just don't use pesticides, and I don't have huge outbreaks of disease. And I believe that's because everything is in balance. You know, if you spray insecticides, you not only kill the bad bugs, you kill the good bugs as well. And if you drench your soil with these pesticides, you actually kill off the organisms that are in the soil, together with earthworms and beneficial organisms that help you have a good ecological balance in your soil. You're really doing more harm than good. So, you know, again, that's hard to take if you're looking at an infestation of spider mites and that kind of thing. But again, spider mites, you know, a sharp blast of water on the undersides of the leaves. Don't plant your roses too close together so that they can get proper air circulation. You know, one of the things I think people really love is instant gratification. I'm going to plant all these roses really close together, and then I'll have this gorgeous bloom that will come in a very short period of time. Now, gardening is a process. Your garden is never finished. It is a work in progress. And that's one of the most beautiful things about having a garden, is that it continues to grow and evolve.
I would totally agree. My garden has gone through so many stages, and I hope it goes through so many more.
Yes.
And that's just part of it. You know, I've often tell people, it's not my garden just to look at, which I do look at it, but it's my garden to tend. It's the tending of the garden, the working on it. And you mentioned soil, the importance of good soil. And I'm going to put a plug in for another podcast that we just did with Gay Hammond. And she just takes you step by step on what is soil and how to keep it healthy. So if you haven't listened to Gay's podcast, do tune in to All About Soil. In fact, I think the name of that one is All the Dirt on Soil. And that is exactly what you're going to get from Gay. So Pat, now I'm interested, what are your top five roses that you would recommend to our listeners?
So when I started planting my garden, my ideal was that I would try to represent all of the hybridizers that I knew, and some that I haven't actually met. So my garden is a collection of roses from different hybridizers. And actually, when I go out into the garden and look at it, you know, I can actually look at those roses and know who hybridized them And that's extremely important to me. I wanted it to be a representation of as many hybridizers as I could so that when people actually came to the garden, they would be able to see all the different roses. So one of my very, very favorite roses, and it's an old hybrid tea bred by Mayon, is the McCartney Rose. It has a very strong fragrance. It's medium pink, and it is disease resistant. Another wonderful rose is Beverly. Beverly is a hybrid tea. It's pink, bred by Cordis. Very, very, very fragrant. We'll fill a whole room with the fragrance, and disease resistant. So when I'm planting roses, I try to not only plant something that is going to grow well in my area and that is disease resistant, I'm looking for fragrance as well. There is a rose called Above and Beyond, which is a large flowered climber bred by David Slezak. It has a mild fragrance, but it is very disease resistant. And for those of you who are living in a colder climate, this rose is cold hardy to zone 3B, disease resistant, and it is absolutely a wonderful rose. Olivia Rose Austin, which is a shrub bred by David Austin, light pink, and again, extremely, extremely fragrant. Easy to Please is another beautiful Floribunda bred by Christian Bedard. It is a medium pink. It is fragrant with very good disease resistance. And I have to put in one plug for a rose that was named for me. It's called President Shanley. It's a shrub and it's bred by Andy Vanaville. And it is light pink. It has very strong fragrance and it is extremely disease resistant.
What a beautiful collection. And I love that you mentioned the hybridizers. So they're very important in our world today, and we are so thankful for them. And it's so wonderful. You know, the stories about the roses, it means everything to me in my garden, because when I look at those plants, I think of those people or those stories or time spent. And it just adds so much to our gardening experience.
It does, Teresa. And, you know, the one thing that I really do need to mention in this journey of disease resistance is the hybridizer Will Radler, the father of knockout roses. You know, as I said, when I first started growing roses and had to spray all those chemicals to get the leaves to stay on my very disease-prone hybrid teas, it was a miserable experience spraying because was wearing long sleeves and goggles and a hat and gloves. And, you know, it's like 90 degrees and it was miserable. And I really thought maybe I should grow something else because this is really not fun. And I wished for a rose that would be a rose that I could grow without spraying chemicals. And then came knockout. And so Will Radler created a rose that was a watershed moment that we hadn't seen since Peace, the rose Peace. So it is you may not be growing knockout, but I can tell you that Will Radler has hybridized some incredible roses, and one of them is Orchid Romance. And this is a Floribunda that is medium pink to mauve, and it is fragrant and extremely disease resistant. So there are so many beautiful roses out there that you can grow without spraying chemicals. And it is possible for you to really enjoy your garden and, you know, not have to suit up in the heat of the summer to keep roses that are so difficult to grow. So,
You know, we just all owe Will so much. He's given us, and he still continues today to give us beautiful roses. I planted one last year, a new one. Bright and Shiny, I believe is the name of that one.
Yes.
It is an open rose, a single, but it is big and beautiful, and it is bright, and it is shiny. It is a gorgeous bloom. So he continues to give us beautiful things. One of my favorite talks that I have ever given, I talk about the new roses since Will began his journey with the knockout. And the name of that program was Just Like Hairstyles, Roses Have Changed Since the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, because one of the things that Will provided were roses, but the other thing that he provided was inspiration. From that moment on, we were different. And hybridizers, you know, maybe driven by money, maybe driven by, you know, who knows, but attention, glory, you know, there's so much that came as a result, you know, unintended consequences and intended consequences that came from the release of a rose that people could really trust to be disease resistant. And, you know, before that, we really didn't know if the market could handle that. Did people really want this? But we found out after the introduction of the knockout that, yes, people were ready. And so every year we're getting more and more beautiful, healthy roses.
We are. And it's Will Radler's rose knockout. So I don't actually grow that original knockout. I grow double knockout, which I absolutely love. It's beautiful. I grow rainbow knockout, sunny knockout, which is midge resistant. And I grow blushing knockout. So his work is being used by hybridizers all over the world today. You know, there are hybridizers in Australia. You know, one of them is Mike Affey. His roses are coming to market in the United States, not as quickly as I would hope, but there's just so much wonderful work being done. And if you want to grow roses that are disease resistant, and I guarantee you, you will have a beautiful blooming, gorgeous garden that you don't have to threaten the environment to grow. You know, I stopped the chemicals, you know, when I lost my Great Dane. But in addition to that, you hear climate change all the time. You hear that our environment is being threatened. And it really is up to us to do our part, whatever small step that you could possibly do to help. And one of those steps is not to spray your roses with every chemical in the world so that they will be absolutely perfect. Think about your life. Is your life perfect? There's nothing that's perfect. Again, think about the level of imperfection that you can tolerate in your garden. And again, if you are an exhibitor, this is really not going to be for you. But I think for the average person trying to grow roses, this is what they want. They want roses in their garden that look beautiful. They want to be able to cut them and bring them into the house. They just want to be able to enjoy their roses, maybe give some to their friends, have people over to see their garden, hopefully when COVID is over and we can do that again. We need to do our part. We need to do our part to leave as small a footprint on this planet as we possibly can. And for me, that is growing roses without using pesticides and sharing my garden and whatever knowledge I have with anyone who will listen and with all the people that come to see it. So I hope that you have wonderful, wonderful, beautiful blooming roses in your garden.
Well, that's one of the other things that's such an attribute of the rose is that many things we get beauty from them for a few weeks. And we love our lilacs, we love our peonies, but our roses, they will give us beauty all year long.
And that is so true.
Even in the winter, you know, many of them give us beautiful hips to look at. It gives the snow something to fall on in Indiana.
And here in New York as well.
Yeah. Pat, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. And just thanks so much for joining me. And thanks for all that you do to inspire us to have beautiful, but also healthy gardens. And thank you for showing pictures on Facebook so we get to see them, even though we don't get to get together. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for asking me to be part of the wonderful work that you do. And I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. Friends, we hope you enjoyed today's podcast and have gathered a basket full of ideas for your garden. I know I have new roses on a list and it just is ongoing, but Pat talked about some roses. I thought, man, I forgot about that one. I'm going to have that one. And if you'd like a copy of the book that I mentioned earlier, The Sustainable Rose Garden, A Reader in Rose Culture, I saw that it's available on Amazon. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag Rose Chat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.